Warrior Radio. Real, radical, relentless, relevant. This is Servant Warrior Radio.
Hello, welcome to the November 16th edition of Servant Warrior Radio. Jeff Searcy here, coming to you from Servant Warrior Battle Station Headquarters, Southeastern United States, right here in St. Augustine, Florida. Hey, so glad that you are hanging out with us today. Now, we are continuing the Spiritual Warfare series this week, and this week it's all about getting yourself battle ready. Actually, it's about getting yourself light and agile and deadly, but it's more about getting off the deck and having the ability to get off the deck and into the fight. But more on that in just a few minutes. Hey, if this is your first time listening to Servant Warrior Radio, welcome. I am so pumped that you're hanging out with us this week. If you're listening to us via Truth Talk 630, I encourage you to visit servantwarriorradio.com. There you can access all of the past episodes of Servant Warrior Radio. We just love those guys at AM 630 out of St. Louis. And if you are listening to that station, thank you. Thank you for listening. They are a great, great group of folks. But when you go to Servant Warrior Radio, you can get all the past episodes, and it is open 24 hours a day, 7 days a week for your convenience. Now, if you're listening to us via the web, could be listening to us from servantwarriorradio.com. Thank you so much. Make sure that you add servantwarriorradio.com to your favorites bar right there at the top of your screen. But man alive, there is so much going on over the past few weeks. My beloved Georgia Bulldogs are the SEC East champions and headed to Atlanta to play in the SEC championship game, likely against Alabama. Well, speaking of college football and the SEC and the BCS championship game, there's a pretty good chance that for the first time in 6 years, there will not be an SEC team in the BCS championship game. I mean, go figure. I know the rest of the folks around the country, you're jumping for joy and doing everything else. But you know what? Hey, listen, crazier things have happened. Don't be surprised if it comes up sometime in January and there is an SEC team in the BCS championship game. But anyway, you know, right now at this point, we're finishing up college football. The regular season is almost over. Bowl season is just over the horizon. The NFL is in the second half of their season. Pro hockey is slated to start back December 1st. I know we're all holding our breath on that one. No offense, hockey fans. College basketball started this week. The big 24-hour marathon happened the other day. Pro basketball is on. You know, our sports plates are absolutely full. And thank goodness, because the world, if you're watching, if you're paying any attention to what's happening, it seems like the world is just imploding. But you know what, God, I am so thankful that you are still on the throne, and I am so grateful that you've got this thing smack dab in the middle in the palm of your hand, because otherwise I might be a little uptight. But you know what, I'm not uptight at all. But there's so much that we can talk about in so little time. I mean, the political landscape is all over the place. Our military and these scandals are about to drive me nuts. We got citizens and states wanting to leave the union. I mean, it's mass hysteria. I mean, I think the old Ghostbusters movie, you know, dogs and cats living together, mass hysteria. I mean, that's what it seems like. But I do want to talk about this secession thing just for a second. I mean, we've got citizens in 36 states. 36 signing petitions wanting to secede from the union. Oh, it's crazy. You know, and listen, I don't want to get into this thing on a political argument. I'll leave that to the other guys and all the pundits out there. But hey, listen, just know that I could, and man, we would have a really, really great time. But anyway, we got 30 people in 36 states wanting their states to secede from the United States of America. And here we go. We got the other side. We got others who want to revoke the American citizenship and exile those who signed the those secession petitions. I mean, yeah, it has come to that. Personally, I think both sides are crazy. But again, a fun topic to dive into on another day. But I do have a question on this whole revoking citizenship and exiling people who sign a secession petition. Well, first, if that would relieve me from the pending tax burden that I'm about to get, hey, where do I sign? I'm kidding. I love this country. I love this country, even with its blemishes and mess ups. I love this country. But anyway, how many people who have burned the American flag right here in the United States out of protest for whatever have had their American citizenship revoked? None. None that I know of. In fact, they're actually praised for exercising their First Amendment rights. Now, if you know somebody who's had their American citizenship revoked because they burned a flag here in the United States, email me, jeff@servantwarriorradio.com. I'd love to have them on the show and talk to them. But government forbid that we, as Christians, exercise our First Amendment rights. Of course, that rant is another one for another day. But hey, if you follow me on Twitter, you know that I have been a little more vocal this week about government, about the media, about all kinds of stuff that's going on. Hey, if you don't follow me, at Jeff Searcy, you can go into Twitter, you can click on that, you can find me, you can go to servantwarriorradio.com, you can click on there and you can follow, and you know we have a lot of fun there on Twitter. But I can tell you, I've held my tongue on this thing as long as I can, because the more that I watch what's going on, it is so apparent that we as a society, especially my generation, I'm a 40-somethings, mid-40s, and the generations that follow, we've lost the ability to be critical thinkers, to actually think for ourselves and determine our own perspective, to come to our own conclusions, and all of this based on our own research efforts, I mean, and our own considerations. Essentially, we have become a society of playbacks, of regurgitators, and mindless followers. Hey, listen, I'm sorry. I call it like it is. And I know there are folks and there are some great thinkers out there making great things happen. But as a whole, we don't think for ourselves anymore. We take what we see and read as gospel. But you know what? We've been trained that way. I know, call me crazy. But let's think about this. Our public education institutions, for instance, K through 12, we teach to a test. And you know what we're doing is we're teaching our kids that in order to get through, to finish, to graduate, that they simply need to regurgitate what the teacher says and they'll pass. Essentially, that they'll be informed and we will have taught the kids. The kids, you know, they're pass, they get through based on their test scores. Teachers are evaluated based on test scores. This whole thing. And then when self-preservation actually becomes paramount for the teachers to keep their jobs. So what do? Well, we teach to the test. We're not teaching kids. They're not thinking anymore. They're regurgitating. And then we go and think about our colleges and universities. It's become the same way. Students are not challenged to think anymore. They're not encouraged to have opinions or perspectives. And let me finish here. They're not encouraged to have those that differ from the professor or the faculty or the institution itself. If so, failure. You know, that's it. That's the way it works. And school's not cheap. But once again, we further that modus operandi to tell the professor what they want to hear and get through the class. Don't have an opinion. Don't challenge them. Just take what they say as truth for this class and get through it. Hey, how many college students out there have heard that? How many of you have said that? I know I did when I was in school. But I mean, are we really that short-sighted and unable to grasp the reality that that mindset, that perspective, that approach will not be employed outside the classroom after we graduate in the real world? What do we get when we take what we've learned in school to include the skills and the perspectives as well as the knowledge and apply it to the rest of our lives? If we think back the way that the kids are being taught now, we get a society of playbacks, regurgitators, and mindless followers. Sorry. I mean, listen, it's like taking a horse from a very early age, take it to a farm, put it into a nice little circle ring, and teach it to give birthday joy rides to kids. Okay, then it gets older, becomes an adult, grows up. We let the horse loose at the racetrack, we just let it out in the wild, and we wonder why it doesn't race. We wonder why it can't or won't survive. I mean, really? Proverbs 22:7 tells us, train a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not turn from it. If you think that is not true in every circumstance, you need to get your head out of the sand and come to a realization that our kids, the generations that will come behind us, will be what they're taught to be. They will embrace the perspectives and outlooks they're taught to embrace. Essentially, they're going to take on the characteristics and become what their environment dictates and what their environment allows. Hey, this ain't rocket science, folks. I didn't make this stuff up. People become products of their environments. Good people in bad environments become bad. Bad people in good environments become good, or at least better. Eventually, no matter how strong-willed, pig-headed, stubborn, entrenched in one's beliefs someone is, eventually that person will take on the traits of his surroundings and environment. Again, I didn't make this up. We see it every single day. This country is in dire need of a culture change. But that discussion is one for another time. Hey, listen, I got to take a quick break. When we return, we're going to get into some spiritual warfare and a discussion about lightening the load. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back. You are listening to Servant Warrior Radio. Like to hang out on the edgy side of Christian talk? You found the right place. That's Servant Warrior Radio every Friday morning, 6 a.m. on St. Louis's own AM 630 and 24/7 at servantwarriorradio.com. Now, back to the show.
Your love's inside of me.
We are back. You're listening to Servant Warrior Radio. Jeff Searcy here, your humble and faithful host. Now, for those of you who are hanging out with us for the first time, or if it's been a while since you've listened, I want to remind you of the mission of Servant Warrior Ministries and the mission of Servant Warrior Radio. That's to reach guys of all ages where they are, empower and inspire them to be who God has created and called them to be. I mean, we want to be the spark that ignites the fire among men across the country and around the world to get battle ready, to armor up for that war that they will find themselves in each and every day, and to make sure that they are armed with all the weapons of God and so they can take the fight to the enemy. I mean, that's what we're here for. That is our goal and mission. Now, this series that we're in, Spiritual Warfare, it's all based out of Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 18. So if you've got your Bible, go ahead and grab it. If you don't, go get it, because we're going to be diving into this thing here in the next couple of minutes. And what we're doing throughout this series is we're talking about how our calling as Christians, as servant warriors, has an uncanny resemblance to the mission of a Marine Corps rifle squad, which is, by the way, to locate, close with, and destroy the enemy by fire and maneuver, and repel the enemy's assault by fire and close combat. I mean, hoorah! As a matter of fact, last Saturday, our beloved Marine Corps turned 237 years young. Happy belated birthday, Marines, if I missed you last week. But anyway, if you did miss last week's show, no better friend, go to servantwarriorradio.com, check it out, and while you're there, check out Close Combat as well as Tracking the Enemy. Those are all messages out of this series. So as you start thinking about that, and we think about the mission of the Marine Corps Rifle Squad, and then we read Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 18, that we will in just a few minutes, you can absolutely see that our call and charge and mission as men of God, as servant warriors, and really as Christians as a whole, is right in line with that of a Marine Corps Rifle Squad. Hey, listen, I've got to take a break. When we come back, we are going to get in the message, Lighten the Load. Do not go anywhere. We will be right back. You are listening to Servant Warrior Radio. We are back. You're listening to Servant Warrior Radio. Searcy here. And over the past few weeks, we've been talking about repelling the enemy's fire. We've been talking about close combat. We've been talking about tracking the enemy and taking the fight to him. And again, if you haven't listened to the other messages in the series, please go to servantwarriorradio.com and listen to those. It is absolutely worth the time spent. And after you listen to them, make sure you share them. Send the links out and share them with everybody that you know. But this series, Spiritual Warfare, is based in Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 18. So if you've got your Bible, go ahead and grab it. And I'm going to start reading in verse 10. Finally, be strong in the Lord and his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you have done everything to stand, stand firm then with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people. And I just love that passage. I mean, it is one of the most empowering and confidence-building passages in all of Scripture. And it is certainly something that you can pray over yourself, your family, your friends every single day. As a matter of fact, there's a great prayer based on this passage that can be found at servantwarriorradio.com. You can go there, you click on the Armor Up prayer button, download the prayer, print it out, share it, pray it. It's powerful, powerful. Now, I want to get on to this week's message, Lighten the Load. Now, as I said earlier in the show, this week it's all about getting yourself battle ready. But actually, it's about getting yourself light and agile and deadly. But it's more about the ability to get off the deck and into the fight. Now, it always amazes me how airplanes that weigh so much are able to get off the ground and fly. I mean, aerodynamics is absolutely amazing. Now, I don't know if you've seen, I'm sure a lot of folks have, but I love the movie Pearl Harbor. It came out a few years ago. Ben Affleck, Josh Hartnett is in there. Alec Baldwin is in there. I mean, you know, we all know the story behind Pearl Harbor and the attack on Pearl Harbor, the naval base there by the Japanese. But in that movie, there is a small but incredibly significant message that is very relevant for us and relevant to us in our fight today. Because in the movie, the whole success of the Army Air Corps' bombing missions into Japan depended on the ability of the pilots to be able to take off from an aircraft carrier. I mean, and this the carrier, however, had a very, very short runway. I mean, yeah, let's think about it. There's no do-over or second shot at it. We're not playing Xbox 360 where if you crash your plane, you know, you get another shot. These planes had to get in the air before the runway ran out, period. Failure meant crashing into the ocean. So what did they do? I mean, in the movie, I mean, they failed attempt after failed attempt to get off the ground with the in the allotted few hundred feet. Of course, they did these on not on the ships, but they did them on just regular runways. But what they did was, you know, they literally had to gut the airplanes. I mean, the sailors and the soldiers, they pulled everything out and stripped the planes down to bare bones. I mean, it included nuts and bolts and gears, extra fuel cans. I mean, they even pulled the machine guns off and replaced them with broomsticks. And they painted black. They wanted to make sure the enemy still thought that the plane still had had machine guns in them. I mean, it was anything to lighten the planes enough to get them airborne before splashdown. Well, they finally got the planes light enough to took off from the carrier, made the bombing runs, blew up Japanese targets, got shot down, got overrun by enemy patrols, fought bravely. One of the stars died, but not before he learned he was going to be a father. Ace pilot makes it through. He gets back home, lives happily ever after with the girl who is the mother of his best friend's baby, and the rest is movie history. And despite what that, it actually really was a pretty good movie. I mean, but nevertheless, let's get back to the issue at hand. I mean, there are so many variables, so many gray areas, and so many uncertainties that before the mission, Lieutenant Colonel Doolittle, who's played by Alec Baldwin, who's another story, but Alec Baldwin, he told the pilots that 50% or more of them would likely be either shot down or would not make it back because of a lack of fuel. Yet they all stepped forward and accepted the challenge. Why? I don't know. Did they believe in Colonel Doolittle? Did they love the good old U.S. of A.? Did they believe in the mission? Did they desire fame, glory? Did they have faith in each other? I don't know. You know, maybe a little bit of all that, maybe none at all. But regardless of why, for them to accomplish the mission, to receive the fame, the glory, whatever it is, for them to achieve the task set before them, they had to first get in the air. And that meant stripping away all the extra baggage and heading into the unknown, fully exposed, somewhat defenseless, and riding on a wing and mostly a prayer. Now, if you're like me, let's take the movie drama out of the equation. I wouldn't have the greatest level of confidence heading into enemy airspace during a war without any weapons or protection or even extra fuel, knowing that there's a better in 1 in 2 chance that I will either get shot down or run out of gas and crash. I mean, can you say suicide mission? How often are our lives a direct reflection of those planes? We are so weighed down by the burdens of life that we can't seem to get off the carrier except to, swim. You know, many of us look at the extra baggage, the machine guns. Of course, the machine guns were protection from the enemy. You know, the extra fuel, that insurance, which is a way back home or to the comfort of our homes or what we like to call the man caves. You know, and parts that really do anything, but are there because someone said they should be. I mean, think about that. That's all the other stuff that life throws our way that just seems to come with living. You know, we see all that as essential for us to get through the battle. However, those things thought to be essential are often the very things that keep us on the ground, that keep us from flying with God, that keeps us from accomplishing all those tasks that set before us. You know, there is a way to lighten the load without being defenseless, helpless, or feel like we're on a suicide mission. Christ tells us to come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. That's in Matthew 11:28. Psalms 55:22 tells us, cast all your cares on the Lord and he will sustain you. He will never let the righteous fall. You know, we serve a big, all-powerful, all-knowing, all-present, and all-loving God. He can handle our burdens and he will fight our battles. All we have to do is give that extra baggage to him and have faith in him. And you know what? We're also told to put on the full armor of God too. So we're therefore put on the armor so that when the day of evil comes, we will be ready to stand our ground. And after we have done everything to stand firm with the belt of truth buckled around our waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with our feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, we take up the shield of faith with which we can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. And we take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. I mean, don't we serve an awesome God? I mean, not only will he fight our battles, he'll make sure that we are fully equipped to handle anything that might come our way. Now, I know having faith and truly resting in Jesus is easier said than done. I mean, for many of us, I mean, me included, it is so hard to cast our burdens on someone else, even Christ, even though he is the only one who can truly handle them. And despite how much we want to, we don't. But you know, Jesus is patient. He's humble. He's knocking at our door. He will always be there. All we have to do is open it. If you can't cast all your worries and troubles on him right now, start by casting a few. Watch how he'll come through for you. And believe me, there's no flying into the unknown, defenseless and helpless when we're flying with Jesus. You know, it comes a time at the end of every show that I always want to give people the opportunity to give your life and surrender your life to Christ. I mean, for those out there who say, Jeff, you know, I've got so much baggage. I can't even begin to get off the ground, much less get into any kind of fight. But you know what? I've realized I can't do this on my own. I feel God tugging at my heart, and I want to take him up on his offer to take my burdens. I want to give him all of me. I want him to be the Lord of my life. Hey, you know what? He will take you. He'll take all of it. And you know what? We're going to ask him together in just a second. And there are others out there who'll say, Jeff, you know what? I have a relationship with Christ. And you know what? I know Jesus as the Lord of my life, but I've allowed the burdens of this world to weigh me down where I can neither get away from them. I can't get off the ground. I can't get off into the fight. I can't get anywhere. I want to get right on the right path with God, and I want to re-surrender my life to Christ. Hey, you know what? We serve a God of second, third, tenth, hundredth chances. He will always take you back. If you're ready to surrender or re-surrender your life to him, would you pray this prayer with me? Lord, thank you for loving me. I have all kinds of burdens that are weighing me down and keeping me from flying with you. These burdens are keeping me from the battle. And even though I want to, I have a hard time giving things over to you. Help me trust in you. I know you can handle all my cares and worries. I know you won't let me fall. Lord, thank you for sending your Son, Jesus, to die on the cross for my sins. Lord, I surrender my life to you. Please come into my heart and be the Lord of my life. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Hey, if you prayed that prayer, email me, jeff@servantwarriorradio.com. And make sure you get hooked up with a group of believers where you are, because God never meant for us to go on this earthly journey alone. Hey, I can't wait to hang out with you next week. Until then, keep it real, radical, relentless, and relevant, and put on the armor each and every day. This has been Servant Warrior Radio. 3, 2, 1.